It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 487 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week is another great doubleheader featuring the return of some favorites here at the podcast. First up is Jonathan Hedrick from Freak Show Princess and Capable. He has a Kickstarter going on right now for Quicksand Number 1, which is described as the first issue of a new and exciting 22-page full-color sci-fi horror comic book miniseries. We talk about this book and how it compares to his previous comics, as well as what he has in mind for future offerings. Be sure to support this Kickstarter after you listen to this episode. Then everything wraps up with the return of Sam Johnson, who has a Kickstarter going on right now for Geek Girl Jump On TPB, trade paperback of course, which you can also support. We get a great update on his successful franchise, including what we might expect from Ruby Kay, Summer, and the rest of the gang in the near future. Again, be sure to support this project as soon as you get done listening to this episode. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. It's always a pleasure to talk with Jonathan Hedrick, creator of such wonderful things as Capable, and now has a new Kickstarter for a book called Quicksand, which is very intriguing. How you doing, Jonathan?
Good. Thanks for having me back on, Wayne. I appreciate it.
It's always good to talk with you. I think that you're still on the rise, and I think your name is going to be better known even by more and more people as we go forward, because I think you're doing some great writing.
Awesome. Thank you for saying that.
Now, let's talk about Capable, because I saw on the Kickstarter there were some pages from, I think it's Capable 4.
Yeah. I'm teasing Capable 4 now. That is almost done. Just need about half of it colored, and then I'll be ready to launch that, and probably on Kickstarter in about a month and a half, I would say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one's ready to go pretty soon.
How's the reception doing for that? Because I really like it, but I understand some folks are not necessarily as big fans as I might be.
Yeah, I think I've heard mostly positive things. The only, I don't even want to call it negative, but the only thing that's maybe keeping people away from it is its attachment to the superhero genre, which I can appreciate a lot of people being burnt down on with that area of comic books. But it is a different take on the superhero, genre tropes. Mm-hmm. So, I haven't heard too many complaints about it.
Okay, so for people who don't know, talk about what Capable is about.
Yeah, Capable is about where one day handicapped people around the world start to gain superpowers that are opposite of what their disability was. For example, the main character, Derek Davidson, was in a wheelchair without use of his legs, and he wakes up one day and he's a speedster. And he also has gained a little bit more strength and agility as well. The series focuses on him and how he's adapting to a world where people are gaining these superpowers but aren't necessarily doing the right thing with them. So it's a lot of fun to write and explore that kind of what if concept.
Because I like it. I really do enjoy the whole concept of somebody swinging the other direction. Let's say that you're not necessarily the best at something. There's a physically something that's preventing you from functioning like, say, most of the other people do. And suddenly you swing the other way and you're ahead of them.
Right.
That's such an interesting concept to me, because psychologically, that's got to be something interesting to deal with.
Absolutely. And that's what I really wanted to explore with Capable, is just that, one day you're on one end, and the other day you're on, it's like a quantum leap change in your life. So it's really, really fun to write that series.
There was, I don't know if this is, this might have been in three. You told me we were at a signing at Kingdom of Comics, I think it is.
Right. Yeah.
And you turned and said something to me that really fascinated me. And I don't know if this is public or not. Maybe if it isn't, we'll cut this out. But you talked to me about the fact that he tries out for the track team.
Yes.
But even he couldn't do it before because of disability. But he again can't go on the track team, but this time because he's overqualified.
Correct. Yeah, that was in issue three. That's the trials and tribulations of this character. You know, he wanted to be involved in athletics, and because of his disability, he was able to be the manager of the track team, which is kind of almost like honorable mention, if you will. Now he's super powered and he can run fast, and the coach still won't let him be on the team because, one, it's obvious he's going to win every race. Mm-hmm. And two, who knows if he might hurt someone. You know, he's still learning these powers himself. So it really shows that these newfound powers aren't going to make his life necessarily better right away.
It's not going to right anything that are perceived wrongs.
Yes. Yep.
Just, I love the whole thing about it. I just think it's a very smart. The way the characters interact with it. The first issue is a big loss for the main character, which I found really, really interesting because, you know, I know this is probably not the thing to say, but on some levels it's, when you are, let's say, using a wheelchair and stuff, there are things about it that might make you less in danger.
Right.
Shall we say? Because if you're running and fall and stuff like that, not that you can't fall in a wheelchair or something, but if you are – a wheelchair might stabilize you a little more on some levels. And look, I am not – I don't completely understand it. I'll talk about my perception of it.
Of course.
And so for me to see the way that you have treated the character and how he's responded to it, and other people, of course, have different powers. They're not all speedsters.
Exactly.
And to see them all do different things differently and adjust to this, just something that, just, I find that so fascinating. I like the what if stories. Those always.
Me too.
I like that so much.
Yeah.
Before we started recording, I mentioned to you, I thought one of the things we should talk about a little bit are speedsters.
Mm-hmm.
Because speedsters, to me, you know, I remember reading where Batman in Frank Miller's, like a future Dark Knight story, yeah, where he thought that Plastic Man was actually the most dangerous person on the planet. Where I disagree with that. One of the things that was going on in that same story, the Flash was being used as a power source, which I found really interesting. But if you're fast enough to, and you can, not only can you move, but you can perceive things at a different speed, that to me is a dangerous thing. And so the character Incapable, he's still learning all this stuff, but I see every once in a while that possibility of how he handles things and does things that could be a little dangerous.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If someone with less morals, if you will, could definitely use a power like that for a lot worse than what, you know, Derek is doing. Derek is going into this, like, I want to be a hero. I'm a good person. I want to try to save every single cat from every tree and put out every fire. But, you know, someone that doesn't have that type of ethics and that has a darker mindset could go to a lot of disturbing places.
Mm-hmm. And do a lot of nasty stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, one of the guys, I was in a comic store one time, and a guy who thought that Superman was too powerful had developed a character that had the claws of Wolverine and the speed of the Flash.
He could cut you to bits before you even knew it.
Yeah. Yep.
And I turned to him and I said, "You think Superman's too powerful?"
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of cool. You can do those things. Well, yeah, I suppose. As long as you're the guy doing it, I'm sure that's.
Yeah.
And everything. But see, that's the thing with capable. It's interesting to see somebody who, you know, hasn't dealt with it for long, mm-hmm. and how he's looking at it and seeing the kinds of things. I mean, he sees the opportunity for doing bad things to good people.
Yeah.
It's something to see him grow with it. I think that's something that we can all relate to. And that's one of the things I love about the book, is to see how he does that and what kinds of opportunities he chooses not to take.
Yeah. I appreciate you saying that, because in each issue, I'm trying to work in a different level of what's considered a disability or a handicap, and going in a direction where someone may not have thought of that. Like issue two, the bad guy per se, you know, was an amputee, and now he has a superpowered arm, and he's, you know, he's robbing the bank, but he's robbing a bank because he feels like he's entitled to money that he wasn't given due to his amputation. Mm. Then issue three, there's someone that was visually impaired, and it just, the possibilities with the series is really endless, in my opinion. And you know, I'm just having a great time, you know, going into the different directions that I have with it.
I really enjoy what you're doing with the characters. I enjoy the opportunity to see these people, and because they're very realistic. The thing I really enjoy about it, they're not doing things or making choices that not all of us would make, but they're making ones that some of us would make.
Right.
I like that. I want to see the possibilities. I want to see what they might do. And so on that, and that thing, this is issue four. Do you know how many issues of Capable you're thinking of making?
I have a target of 7 issues. I think I can wrap up at least the first volume, the first arc with 7 issues. And then once I, you know, get that to that point, I'll see, you know, where I want to take it from there. But definitely want to do 7. I think that's a good size trade. It's a good collection of, you know, exploring this entire world, and then seeing what happens after that.
Well, I hope it's going to be around for a long time, because it is quite an enjoyable read.
Thank you.
I want to see more. I I hope 7 isn't all that there's going to be.
Yeah, I hope not either. Yeah.
That's good fun. It's just so well done. I think the art is really great on it too. You know, you put together a good team, I think, to make this book.
Yeah, I've been really fortunate with the artist, Gino Casmianto. He's from Indonesia, and he loves this story more than I do. I think, you know, he gets the script and he's just so excited about where it's going, and he tries to guess about what's going to happen in the next issue after that. it's as a writer, when you're working with an artist like that, you want them to be just as excited as you are about the project. Mm-hmm. And he really is. And he drives me to want to do the book, you know, more, you know, to step my game up and not just pump out, you know, another superhero book, but to make it worth its while.
Mm-hmm. It's great. I mean, I just enjoy it. I think it's, I think when the right people discover this book, I think it's going to go really far.
Thank you. Thanks for saying that, Wayne.
Terrific. It's just a wonderful book. But all right, let's get to the big thing, the big stuff, as they like to say. Quicksand.
Yes.
Describe what Quicksand is about.
So Quicksand is what I like to call a grounded sci-fi horror book. It's intended to be a 5-issue miniseries. And the elevator pitch is a hole opens in the desert near the pyramids in Egypt, and these really horrible creatures come pouring out of it and attack a nearby city. And as quickly as they come, they retreat back into the hole in the ground, And the world's like, what was that? What just happened? And the leaders around the globe unite and say, we got to figure out what that was in case it ever happens again. They assemble this team of experts and send them down into the hole, and those people never come back. And that's where I leave the synopsis or the pitch at, because I like to, because the series is going to explore what happens after those people don't come back. What's the next plan? What's plan B? Because, you know, you can't just leave that unattended when the world experiences such a tragic event like that. Mm-hmm. And it's on Kickstarter right now. It's funded and has a few days left. So if people want to get on it, you know, now's the time.
When's the conclusion?
Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern, the 28th.
So not far away. So get on board. Even though you've met your goal, mm-hmm. it's time to get to the stretch goals and make good things happen there.
Yeah.
The more you get beyond it, the more you can do with it.
Absolutely. And I really kind of patting myself on the back here. I've planned out some really exciting stretch goals. So I'm really eager to get to those points, because I have stockpiled goodies to throw in with everyone's pledge. And I'd hate to have them just sit here in my home, not going to use. So yeah, this is probably one of the most planned out Kickstarters I've ever done before. I really took it all my prior experiences and the other campaigns I've run and what I've seen other people do, and put, you know, the best foot forward to give people something that they can really enjoy and feel like they got their money's worth out of.
That's cool, because I backed it already. I'm on the $25.
Awesome.
I was in the day one sale, above and below covers.
Nice. Yeah.
Which I wanted to get. So I always like to do that. I actually recently got to be the first one on a Kickstarter, which I try to do.
Yeah.
And Nathan Luth let me know, you were the first. And I went, oh, yes, I try. So many times I try, but sometimes I just don't ever seem to make it. I finally got it. I was the first one.
I think I've been able to do that once. And it was on a friend's campaign. So I was really glad to have that accolade.
Yeah, I didn't do it with yours, though. That was the I didn't find out about it in time, and I went, oh, rats. But I said, well, at least I'll get the $25 first day level. But
that's still worked out, and I appreciate it.
That's really good. Now, a couple of things I got to talk about in the design and other areas. I love the logo.
Yes. Yeah.
It's quicksand, which is, of course, one word. But the interesting thing about the way the logo is designed, the word quick is up, and then when you get to sand, it's like it starts to sink.
Yes.
Which I like.
I have to give all the credit to my letterer, Christian Dokolomansky, who I commissioned to make that logo, and he did a fantastic job. I've worked with Christian on other projects. He's super reliable, super professional. Had to have him on this project. And you know, he sent me probably 30 different logos for me to choose from, but that one, he knocked that one out of the park. It's amazing. That belongs on T-shirts. You know, it's such a clever design.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't give him much to go off of. I was like, yeah, just make sure quicksand is in the logo.
Mm-hmm. Now, another thing that I got is the name of the group.
Yes.
That's working. It's called Canary One.
Right. Yeah.
Is it called Canary One for the reason I think it is?
Canary as in like those in mines where they would send a canary. Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm going to humbly pat myself on the back again. So the mission patch goes back to my history living in Brevard County, which is near the Space Center. I grew up with watching all the shuttle launches, and I've always been a fan of the mission patches. I actually have this denim vest with a bunch of different, you know, like the Apollo missions and so forth, embroidered and sewn onto the best. So I was like, how cool would it be if we did create a mission patch for this team that went into that hole in the ground, just like they were astronauts, but in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I sent that out to Christian and he gave me some samples and we landed on this one. And I was like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about the astronauts' names or the, you know, the reverse astronauts, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about, do I really want to name these people, they're given last names and commit to it. But, you know, I, in a very selfish way, I was like, I want my name on the patch. So I put the creative team on the patch with, you know, the motto, and in the ring around it, it says, summon humanity in several different languages to show the, you know, how the, this was a global effort to put this team together and send them, into that hole to figure out what was, you know, caused that event. So yeah.
I like research, explore, discover.
Yeah. Yeah. I looked at a ton of the mission patches. I'd made sure I didn't copy anything, that another actual mission, you know, into space had, but I also wanted to kind of make it honor that as well.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's really cool.
Thank
Very
you.
Well done. Yeah. The whole thing, the concept from beginning to end is just terrific. And of course, one of the things that I love about your writing are these strong female characters.
Thank you.
And there's the above cover
mm-hmm.
features a female with a gun.
Yes.
That I really like. Now, who is that character?
So that character's name is Stephanie Noon, and she is the wife of one of the explorers that were lost in Canary One. So we focus on Stephanie during this series and her wanting to figure out why her husband never returned. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that the above cover or the main cover, that's was done by Deborah Lancianese. She's the artist, the interior artist. And man, I love that cover so much. I told her briefly what I was looking for, and she gave this back to me, and I loved it. Yeah, it's a very strong female character, and I just like writing those type of, you know, characters. I think they're so much fun.
Well, I always like to say, and I say this often on this podcast, I understand male characters. I've been reading them mm-hmm. in comics literally for decades, but it's just my life experience has not been to, I just haven't gotten the chance to explore the female psyche the way that I would like.
Of course. Yeah.
And for me to read characters like this is always great fun because I learn so much.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of go, okay, that's what a female character might do in that circumstance.
Right.
So I like that. I enjoy that because, you know, as I always like to say in comics, men can be scoundrels, men can be scientists, men can be mm-hmm. everything in the world, but women have always just been damsels in distress, and I've always found that really unsatisfying.
Yeah.
So to see these kinds of characters like you're doing, it's just so satisfying to me. I enjoy reading that so much.
Thank you. Yeah, it's you know, it keeps things interesting. With the main character being, you know, a strong female, I brought in Deborah intentionally because, you know, she's a very powerful, strong, female artist. And she kind of, that's almost like the check and balance for me. You know, she's had her ideas too on adjusting certain panels and the art direction. And I can really appreciate that. I think it makes the story better.
Mm-hmm. Now, I get a kick, and I probably shouldn't say this, but on the above cover, we see her, you know, trying to find out what happened to her husband. Mm-hmm. If she saw the below cover, she might get a clue.
Right. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I came up with the idea. I really wanted kind of connecting covers, mm-hmm. and we see a lot connecting covers in the mainstream comic books, the big two comic books where they connect left and right. I've only seen a few that connect top and bottom, mm-hmm. and this is a great story to capitalize on that. And I also like the, you know, they usually say cover A and cover B. So this is the cover above and cover below. just another thing that I popped in my head while planning out this project. And I just think it's kind of neat. And, you know, you got to offer these different collectability type things for the fans.
Now, the thing about the above cover that gets me is it takes a little of my breath away because I can just feel the heat.
Yeah.
In it. It's just so, it's going to be something that the thing about the below cover that gets me is the, let's just say they're inside the book. There are a lot of scorpions, apparently. They're scorpion like creatures. Yeah. And we get to see a little bit of how they're different on the below cover.
Right.
Yeah. Some things that's not necessarily a scorpion after all.
Right. Yeah, it's like a tease to seeing what these creatures, where they're coming from, how they look, and you know what's in store throughout the series.
Yeah. Now, how many issues are going to be in Quicksand?
I have 5 planned, targeting for 5. Okay. So
that'll be a good number to have with that. Now, you're going to self-publish these.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to, get it all nice and tight, before I, do any pitches to any publishers.
Okay. Now, I see you're doing the, that writer's variant cover that I enjoy so much. You're doing that again for this book.
Yeah. I think that was a lot of fun. I did that for, another book, Freak Show Night. And, a lot of people are like, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And I've so far seen one mainstream book that's done something similar. They kind of did like a screenshot of their Dropbox file. So I think it might be picking up. And Christian, the letterer on this book, he's the one that did the writer's variant on the other project. And I threw the idea at him again. I said, hey, let's do it again, but a little different. And he came up with this where it looks like the script is kind of buried in the sand. So that's a lot of fun.
What I have to ask, of course, there's some handwritten stuff on there.
Right.
Who's writing that?
That's Christian. Yep.
Oh, it is Christian. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's good.
What he does is he prints out he types it up, he prints it out, destroys it, if you will, and then scans it again. And then adds, more to it in Photoshop. So he thinks of some things that I would not have thought of. He's very clever and good at what he does.
Wow. It really is cool. Yeah. I have, you're right. I have not seen that other places. And so for me, because, as we just talked about this before, and the fact that, blank covers are there so that the artists can draw on them and stuff like that. And if you're a writer, you really can't put much on a cover.
No. Yeah.
Although there's one guy that I talk to often on this podcast, Frank Martin, he was talking about writing short stories and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that was a nice thing to do. That's a kind of, I don't know how you're going to fit that all in the cover, but, it's something to consider anyway, something like that.
Definitely. That's a good idea.
There's a cover, too, that intrigues me. Mm-hmm. It shows the lead female, and she's playing a video game called Quicksand.
Yeah. I call that the arcade cover. So, it's the story has a lot of dark, it's got this dark, scary feel to it. But I wanted to kind of lighten the mood a little bit. And I came across this cover artist, who goes by their social media handle, Hero Draws. Mm-hmm. And they have this, anime type style, if you will, to it. And I just thought that would be unique. I always like to try different things out, work with different artists. And so I approached them to do this, and they thought it'd be a lot of fun. And, so did I.
It's great. I enjoy them. Of course, Above One's still my favorite of the whole bunch. So
that's a cool one.
It's just great stuff. There are so many things in here, so many different why don't you pick out, because you've decided all the different levels and stuff like that in there. What are the ones you'd like people to know about, the different levels that you've chosen that people should know?
One of the ones that is my favorite is the retailer pledge. Specifically because I'm a huge supporter of the brick and mortar local comic shops. Mm-hmm. And I always offer a retailer pledge, and I try to price it where it will make a retailer get their money back, at least, you know, get their money back. If not, maybe make some more money off of it. This is the cheapest retailer pledge I've ever had in any of my campaigns that gets you the most comic books. And for the first time, I offered a cover that's only available to this retailer pledge, meaning that only comic book shops will get this cover. It's not offered in any other pledges. So that makes it very unique for these local comic shops who are put their, you know, money forward, trusted into this campaign. So they're getting 5 copies of this one cover that they could price at however they want to. And maybe that'll drive some other people who backed one pledge for this Kickstarter to want to seek out that comic book shop to get this one as well.
Cool. Yeah. Well, it's good because anything that supports the shops, I think at this point is a,
oh yeah, definitely,
great thing. Cause boy, where would we be without them? Sometimes I think, you know, I look at it and I go like, my gosh, if I couldn't get to the comic store, if I had to wait for them to come to the mail, especially these days, when the mail is just a wreck.
It's not the same. It's not, getting comic books in the mail is a last resort for me. Much rather walk into the store, you know, talk to the owners, talk to the people in there that are shopping, and just, you know, you get like the buzz in the air from, what's on, like the word on the street of what's going on in comic book industry at the time. You can't get that as much shopping online.
The guy that's in charge of Boom Studios wrote an article one time where he talked about the fact that like a comic shop is like a third home. Mm-hmm. You know, your first home is where you live, you know, where you sleep at night. Second home is like where you work. Mm-hmm. And those are people that's where you earn your living and stuff like that. But when it comes to your passions, if you're a comic book fan, the place that is your third home is a comic book shop.
Right.
And I thought that was so insightful. I've never, you know, I've always felt that, but I didn't realize that's what I felt. So I thought that was, it's one of those columns I read and I go, wow, I got to make sure I have a copy of that because that's just good stuff.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. You know, a lot of us that have been comic book readers and collectors most of our lives can probably relate to that, and being thinking that that comic shop as our sanctuary, you know, if you will, because it was one place where people understood that passion and you know, that hobby more than any place else. Mm-hmm.
And how many friends have I made at comic shops?
Oh, probably.
You know, I stood in one comic shop, and I was there, and the black costume of Spider-Man just came out. And I'm standing there looking at the cover, and I went, oh, no. And the guy next to me goes, yeah, isn't that terrible? And we spent the next 3 hours talking. The store closed, and we're sitting out in this car talking about Spider-Man and costumes and all that kind of stuff. And that was all because I sat there, I stood there and said, you know, I just made an offhand comment about that. But it's just, see, that's what comic shops are all about. It's just it's so many wonderful things you discover. Yeah. So I like to go to several of them. I like to go like, you know, we mentioned the one, Kingdom of Comics, which is a really good one.
Right.
But you did I was noticing on Facebook, you did a signing at another store that's in that area.
Was that? 9.9 Comics is also in Melbourne, Florida, my hometown. And they've been great supporters from the get-go. I remember when my very first comic book was still in production and going in there and showing Matt, the store owner, like the pages I was getting back from the artist. You know, and he's like, he told me before he even saw the finished product, he's like, I'm carrying that book in my store. You know, that when you have that much faith coming from these retailers who are small business owners that are putting, you know, their lives on the line to, you know, feed their family in this weird, often, misunderstood genre of storytelling, you know, it goes a long way to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're putting their reputation on the line.
Yeah.
By doing that. So it's just a great thing. But it's just, you know, stores are just wonderfully funny places. I'll tell one more story and we'll leave this behind. There was a guy, he used to go to a store every Wednesday when the new books will be out. He always carried a chair with him.
Oh.
And that was because when he got to the store, they were going to talk, uh-huh, and he needed the chair to sit down on.
Smart.
Because he was there that long. He was going to be there a long time talking, and so he needed a chair, so he brought his own.
Yeah, he knew what he was getting into. That's good.
Pretty smart. So I always get a kick out of little experiences like that and stuff. Now, you mentioned some stuff, the Freak Show franchise and stuff. Mm-hmm. How's that going?
Oh, pretty good. You know, the Freak Show Night came out and through the main distribution in April with, it was received very well. And it was hard for me to find copies of it, to be honest with you. I was looking in stores because I hadn't received my comps yet. And I was like, I just want to, get my hands on a physical copy of it. And so I'm working hard to get the next one shot in that universe, in the works. It's a lot of fun making those zombie comics.
Well, if you want to buy an interesting read, buy something with your name on it.
Oh, thank you.
Such good and interesting stuff. So many, it never goes where I expect.
Thank you.
One thing I love.
I like to keep them guessing.
Well, because I've been reading for a long time. And so for me to get a book that I don't know what's going to happen, like with Capable and with these, I just think that Quicksand, I'm really looking forward to. I just think that's
good. Thank you. So I hope it doesn't let you down, Wayne.
Oh, I'm sure you haven't let me down yet. So I'm thinking that's going to be good. Talk about other books that you're working on, because I know you've got lots of good things in the works. Talk about other stuff that's going on with you.
Yeah. So another project of mine, Recount, that just wrapped up the first arc of that. And I've done a few anthologies. I was part of an anthology called Cthulhu Invades Oz. That's out there for people to get. I did a cool story about Tin Man. Then I was a part of another anthology called Tales from Kara Prime with my buddy artist Brian Silverbacks. I got to write a five pager with one of the characters he had already created, which is always a new fun new challenge to do something with someone else's character that already has an origin story, kind of like Tin Man as well, to try to be faithful to those mythos. I have a project in the works that's a horror Christmas story that's going to be coming. That's coming down the road. I've been seeing pages coming back from my artist with that, and it's this very gut-punching, dystopian Christmas story.
It's not Krampus, is it?
Nope, not Krampus. Nope.
Okay. Because I like Krampus. I read some interesting Krampus stories, and people try to make him into the anti-Claus, as I like to call it.
Yeah.
But this you've got something else in mind.
Yeah, it's a little different take on the anthology that it's a part of is telling like the Christmas Carol, a little bit twisted version of that.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Okay, so this is going to be out before Christmas, right?
Yeah, I believe the project manager wants to get the Kickstarter campaign going around September so that people can have the product in hand by Christmas.
Yes. This, you know, I always tell the story about the Grant Morrison Klaus book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It came out, the first issue, I think, came out in December, right around Christmas. Mm-hmm. But the next five issues after that, I think it wrapped up in May. And I remember going, I was buying it in May thinking, I'm probably the only one in the world that wants to buy a Christmas book in the middle of May.
Right.
So after that, he didn't do that anymore, thankfully. But I always with people, if you've got a Halloween book, do not sell it after Halloween.
Right.
Whatever you do.
So you really have to plan your marketing well in advance for those seasonal type books.
And your production.
Yeah.
Oh man, you've got to make sure it's done.
For sure.
You know, whatever it takes. I mean, if you, unfortunately, if you got to spend a lot of money, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's worth it. So, okay. Any other things that you're working on that we should be aware of?
I think that just about does it. I'm sure I'm missing something, mm-hmm. but I like to stay busy. You know, I'm probably stretching myself thin, but I enjoy it. It's a labor of love.
Well, that's the thing. Comics creators, you know, they love what they're doing and they love what they're making. And the best thing in the world is when you give it to somebody and they enjoy it. I think that's something special. All right. So Quicksand is going to, let's see, tell us again when this is going to conclude.
Friday, May 28th at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Okay. So you've already met the goal. So now the good stretch goals are coming.
Yep.
Those kind of things. So be sure to, if you go and look for Quicksand, it's all one word, even though the logo looks like it's two. It's all one word. And you want to make sure you get signed up for this, because I think that's going to, this is one of those books I think that's going to be worth keeping for a long, long time.
Thank you. Thanks, Wayne.
So that's going to be good stuff. So, well, Jonathan, all I can tell you is I really enjoy your writing. And like I said, you haven't let me down, and I don't expect you will anytime soon when it comes to reading. I'm just looking forward to Capable.
Yes.
Some more of that and other good stuff that I've read. All kind of good things. All interesting stories with really interesting twists and turns in it. So to keep an experienced reader like me guessing. So I just, all I can tell you is keep it up. And man, I am dying to read Quicksand in particular. It's going to be great.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll keep putting them out if you keep on reading them.
Sounds good.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
Time to check in with Sam Johnson from Geek Girl. And I always like to point out it's Geek-Girl. And you've got a Kickstarter going on, Sam. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Wayne. How are you?
Good. And I'm interested to find out, let's see, as we're recording your Kickstarter, you are 90% there and with 94 backers. And I'm sure by the time this posts, you'll have many more and you'll be into your stretch goals and good things like that. People get on me because I don't say this. Actually, says 91% now, so you've gone up a percent.
Okay.
They always fuss at me. I don't do this soon enough. The Kickstarter is going to conclude on Monday, May 31st at 10:46 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Of course, here in the States, that's Memorial Day. That's always a good time to do that so people can jump on a holiday. But for you guys, it's just a regular work day. But how are things going with Geek Girl?
Really good. Really pleased with how things are going. So for those that are uninitiated, Geek Girl is Ruby Kay, a hot popular college chick, landed a pair of super tech glasses, gave a flight and super strength powers. Initially not used to these, it resulted in her being klutzy, not used to the super strength, knocking drinks over her cool kid friends, alienating them. But her best friend Summer stuck by her, kind of pushed her into becoming a superhero. Came up with the name Geek Girl jokingly following her klutzy actions. Ruby has grown from It Girl to a proper superhero and is now off in the position of fronting a super team. And that's kind of where we come in with this Kickstarter.
Okay, these are issues 8 and 9 that you're getting, right?
Yeah, 8 and 9 are the new ones, but there's also the new trade paperback in Geek Girl, which collects, as well as 8 and 9, 5 to 7, which begin the whole new super team direction. So that basically the trade gives you all of the new directions so far.
Mm-hmm. It should be good. Now, you can get the initial one, right? Initial trade with the first one through four, and then you can get that the second trade.
Yeah, I mean, it's all on there. Anything that isn't available as a main reward, now Kickstarter do add-ons, you can get as an add-on. So this is, yeah, as I say, the new trade collects 5 to 9 of the ongoing. Preceding that, we've obviously got 1 to 4, and then there was a 1 to 4 mini series. So volumes 1 and 2, the Team Geek Girls Vol 3, all available as add-ons. So if you back Vol 3, you'll be able to select to add 1 and 2 and anything else you want to the reward.
Right, right. Now, you were telling me that by when this post, there'll be 3 new things you can get on the Kickstarter?
Yes. Yeah, so excited about these. Some new stuff just coming out. These are all limited rewards, one of which will be going up at some point during the day this goes out, so may or may not be up there yet when you listen to it. But the first one, and I won't reveal what that is yet, but the first one is Sanku Maki, who's a rising star, fantastic cover artist. Did the cover for issue 5, which is the jump on beginning of Geek Girls New Direction, fronting the super team. Beautiful artist, and just added, we've got 5 limited rewards, or 5 of these available, which is some beautiful Kumanaki prints, kind of like a cosplay thing going on with like a Boba Fett, but it's like it's kind of sun as Boba Fett, I think. I presume it's because that's what she looks like, as well as Wonder Woman and Underworld. These are really, really beautiful prints, and they come, so you get the Geek Girl 5 Deluxe Edition plus these, so that's really nice. And then Carbaccini Voodoo Junkie Hit Woman, the ex hooker junkie turned spirit, supernatural gun for hire. It's a collector's pack with her stuff coming up. Will be up as the time of you're listening to this. She's a great fun character to write and is going to play a huge part in this arc, which will actually lead into her mini series as well. And yeah, a really over the top character that I really enjoy writing, and some great covers. Carlos Villas did the limited Cabra variant for issue 9, which is beautiful again. And there's other Cabra goodies in that pack. And then, as I say, the third one may or may not be up yet as you listen to this, but look out for it if not.
Mm-hmm. Now, is the Cabraccini miniseries going to be under Marcosia as well?
Haven't got that far yet. Basically, most of it's been in the can for quite some time, but I wanted to introduce her to Geek Girl first, and this what happens in this will lead directly into it. So basically, as it stands, I'm concentrating on this Kickstarter. I've just because there's still a few pages, although most of it's done, a few pages to do. I've just tapped one of the original artists that did some of the strips for Carver back in the day to see if he can do the rest of these. So all in the works that, but we'll be kickstarting later this year. So whether that's more cozy or exactly what form that takes, we'll see nearer that time.
Okay. Now, we should mention the website for all these good things. You can look if the Kickstarter is not going on. It's geekgirlcomics.com. You're on Facebook and I think on Twitter as well. So there's all kinds of good ways to keep up with these good things.
Yeah, but, Instagram as well, Sam Johnson Comics will get me there.
That's good. That's all kinds of good ways to keep up with that. Now, these days, the social media is a good thing to be up on. So now, you sent to me, and it's also available on the Kickstarter page, like a preview of what's coming in these books. Mm-hmm. And do you want to talk a little bit about what's in there before I ask a couple of questions? Because I got a question or two.
So, yeah, I mean, there's some big things going on in the new issues. Firstly, the basically the setup with this super team is Geek Girl and a bunch of other heroes have been brought together by this Johnny Carlisle character, who was a slightly shady character, is now seemingly turning over a new leaf. But this HQ they're put in, there's some weird things going on in that, some of which gets revealed as there's a preview in one of the updates on the Kickstarter. I think the third update, we can check that out. And then we've got Carbaccini, Voodoo Junkie Hit Woman, who seals a deal that's going to have a huge impact on this team. And on top of that, we've got potential arch nemesis, Mean Girl, the totally like Valley Girl, who like really wants to be arch frenemies or enemies, however she'd like to put it, with Geek Girl, because like Geek Girl and Mean Girl, like how has this not happened so far?
Yep. She's nasty to, and not in a good way.
Nah, she's not called Mean Girl for nothing.
And the preview, you know, well, one of the things that's interesting is that Ruby is talking to Mariella and talking like a real girl. You know, the two of them are having a regular conversation, which I always get a kick when a superhero can actually go shopping and have a conversation. Yeah. With somebody about that. And the conversation is kind of fun too. Mariella goes out on a date with somebody who looks like Chris Pratt, yeah. She says.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, when somebody looks like Chris Pratt, they often look that way for a reason.
Yeah, and don't necessarily have what we know and love about Chris Pratt about them.
Yeah. So anyway, he's very focused on himself, and she doesn't quite go for that. But so it's interesting. Now, why don't you tell people who Mariella is before we go too far?
So back in the original miniseries, basically Ruby got involved with Mariella. Her ex-boyfriend was kind of threatening her, and Geek Girl, having only just become a Geek Girl, stepped in. But then there was like something going on behind that, which involving a character called Mr. Mashup, who can sort of transform himself into, well, a vessel inside him, into clones of people and mess with their heads. So that was the introduction to them, and they've become friends. And so Ruby's kind of, you know, well, the Mean Girl clique that she was friends with became alien, and now they kind of want to get back in with her because now she's a bona fide superhero and they're taking this whole thing seriously. But she kind of, Ruby has grown, and she kind of sees who her true friends are, which are Mariella and of course her BFF Summer.
Yeah, that's good. Now, something that really interesting that takes place is, you know, the two of them have a conversation and they literally walk right by Mean Girl. Which I found interesting. I mean, that's she's listening. These two are having a conversation. A boyfriend and girlfriend, looks like, I think, and he's asking what she thinks of a shirt, and she butts in and says, "Can I say something?" Now, knowing that she's Mean Girl, she says to him, "You look super buff in that." Now, of course, that means he doesn't.
Oh, no, she does. But she's saying he does. In front of the guy's girlfriend, which is appreciated by her.
And so that's the.
She says something about the lines of, "Did you choose this or did your girlfriend?" And he was like, "I chose it." And she's like, "Yeah, I thought so."
Oh, boy. And boy, is she mad.
Yes, yeah,
girlfriend
is. Not happy. But this is, Mean Girl is all about that kind of jazz. And she's also got a super tech phone that you can blast people's eyes and make them see like rainbows come out of it, and then it makes them hallucinate being attacked by unicorns while being while listening to a Justin Bieber and Ariana Grande mashup.
The unicorns
coming in there with the weirdness.
Now, she says that she's fought Pitbull, Mr. Marvelous Man, and Captain Vegan. Has she? Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time we've seen her. But yeah, she's like, you know, totally a supervillain. She's been around. And like as she says, it's like she and Geek Girl not met sooner. She like, you know, wants them to be arch nemeses. She's a bona fide supervillain, and when you get to see, you know, though there's a comedic thing going on here with all her, you know, bitchy comments and so forth, and like a valley speak, you'll see that as the issue that she's in unfolds, she's a proper threat.
Well, being mean like that, she goes around making life difficult for everybody around there. She just the guard chases after her when she walks out with all this stuff right off the rack.
Yeah.
you know, he gets, you know, blasted by the phone.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the poor guy, you can see his eyes are panting. He's running around. In fact, it looks like two of them get zapped.
Yeah, I mean, she, you know, one of them does, and then another guy's coming after it following, and she's like, you know, I'm totally giving you an opportunity to just walk away here, but no, so okay, you're going to get bashed by unicorn, hallucinated unicorns as well.
So they start to tussle, the two of them. Now, the one you sent me has a couple more pages than the one that's on there, and I don't want to spoil anything. But
well, I think the extra pages are the ones I'm on about where the HQ gets explored. So that is on there in the third update.
Yeah, that's the very beginning of the – it's a prologue
yeah.
to the stuff that's in there, which I have some questions about. And I don't know if we want to talk about that because it's not available on the Kickstarter.
Well, it's in the update. It's just not on the main page. So you can
– Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what's going on there? I mean, at the headquarters, there's a guy on the cover – with the geek girl, and it looks like he's the one that's walking into the HQ.
Yeah. So so what happens in the art, Tyler is one of her teammates. When the gang come together, plans kind of change a bit because Johnny Carlisle's wife has just had a baby. So he needs to take care of things and just take a breath from getting the super team thing rolling. So, when Geek Girl, Summer, and other new teammate, the Minger, they go out to a fancy club, Tyler sticks around to explore this HQ, and there's some stuff going on in that HQ. Basically, what was supposed to happen was there was previous residents in there, and Johnny's right-hand mag, Digger Mensch, was supposed to do a sweep of the place and make sure everyone was cleared out before the new team came in, but he got very, 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 very drunk with his shady pals and was too hungover to do it. So it's turning up in the issue that we see Tyler exploring, and Digger is on the cover, is going to pitch up to do the job at daylight. And as a result, there are things in there that should have been gone.
Which I have questions about, but I think I'll spoil something if I ask.
Yeah, there's only so far we can go.
Yeah. Okay. So there's all kinds of good. That's the great thing about your books, is that there's always interesting things going on. And I've always now. Okay, I see that, but that makes me ask. Want to ask a question? So but I don't dare because I don't want to spoil stuff, because there's all kinds of good things that we want people to read and enjoy. So that's the good thing about it. So the campaign is going to end, as I said, on May 31st at 10:46 in the morning. How soon after that will the issues 8 and 9 be available?
Everything that's backed on there is going to ship in October. So Grandeur.
Okay.
The artist formerly, at some point I will just be able to refer to him as Grander without saying this, because apparently people have been known for a long time. He prefers to be known by his surname, Grander. So the artist formerly known as Carlos Grander, now Grander, who has been with the book since the miniseries, doing a fantastic job, and his work is well underway on these two issues. I say that both some of each issue has got done, so they're going to be completed in October.
Okay, so it'll be good. So yeah, I have to congratulate you. Not many comics actually get to keep the same artist for 9 issues. I mean, that's a strange and wonderful occurrence.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, it's more than 9, because there's 9 in the ongoing, and then there was a 4-issue mini before that. So no, it's great to have essentially the same creative team since we've had from the start. There was a couple of issues where there was someone else involved in terms of the colouring and the lettering. But aside from those couple of issues, Chun Lin Zhao, the fantastic colourist, and Paul McLaren, who does a great job on the lettering, have all been there from the start and are invested in it. And it's a great creative team, and it shows. And we also like to mix it up with the limited variant covers. So we have different cover artists doing those. Carlos Villas, who's, I'm never sure if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, if it's Villas or Villas, But he's done a couple of limited variant covers before, and the latest one featuring Carbaccini is beautiful, with some where she's in this dimension, the infinite, which she uses as a kind of shortcut from wherever she wants to go, using her bastardized version of voodoo magic, and can take her wherever she wants to be. Because in the story, she's hired to find someone that is going to bring her into the path of Geek Girl and her team.
Okay, something to look forward to. So that'll be good stuff. So, do you know about how regularly you're planning on putting out a Geek Girl issue?
Well, it's a tough gig in the indie world. But basically, there's going to be a gap after this, because this concludes the Team Geek Girl arc. But it will, as I say, directly lead into the Carbaccini Voodoo Junkie Hit Woman miniseries. So while there's the gap for Geek Girl, that gap will be filled by Carbra, which hopefully, when people have read this arc, they'll be invested in her as much as I am, because I absolutely love the character.
Yeah, we've talked about her before. So. She's an unusual character, let's just say. I don't know if we want to go into that again, but she's an interesting, fascinating character. I would say she's about 180 degrees away from Geek Girl.
Yeah. I mean,
as you can get.
She's very aggressive. Mm-hmm. Debut scene in the Teen Geek Girl arc involves her going around a supermarket while smoking a cigarette, which is obviously going to get frowned on. And then she has an altercation with the teller when she thinks she's shortchanged him, and it's all pretty nasty. But she doesn't muck about. She means business. So we haven't established yet who exactly this, because what the trigger for this is that a guy that's dabbling in the cult at the beginning of the series gets shot. But because of his occult abilities, manages to get the bullet out, and he hires Carbra to find the perpetrator. That is what is going to link her up to the Geek Girl crew.
Okay. Well, that'll be interesting to see. Are these two going to like each other?
Do you know, it's interesting, because they are very different characters. And as it stands, I've written a lot of Carbra because she's appeared in like, she used to appear at Anthology FX, the Halloween issue. She used to appear annually in that. Obviously, I've written Blaine and Geek, but I've never written them together. So, it's kind of like, hopefully the characters are grown enough and have enough of a life of their own that might be surprising when it comes to it, to see just how they interact. Because as it stands, there is nothing down on paper yet. Everything is building to that.
Okay, so it'll be interesting, because I would think these two wouldn't like each other.
I think that as well. And the thing is, as well, we don't really know quite how they're going to connect. I mean, there's a reveal in one of the new issues that you'll be able to work that out from it. Until you get to that point, as I say, it's not like she's hired to kill Geek Girl or something. So we'll wait and see exactly how their meeting comes to pass.
See, I actually like it when like superheroic or non-superhero characters don't necessarily like each other or get along. I always find that an interesting thing, to see how they work together as they move forward. Obviously, they're going to have like a common goal, it seems like, and that's going to make them have to interact. And along those lines, to see how they do that and how they work together is going to be fun. To me, like, for example, I always think back to the Superman Batman thing, because always before they were great friends, and suddenly they weren't, and they started to look and see the comparisons between the two. Superman's parents taught him to be positive, and Batman's parents taught him not to do that, but to be different. And so when they see the two of them kind of bounce off each other. And I think we're going to see, in my opinion, and I don't know what you have in mind, but I would expect we'll see something similar that these two are going to be very the way something's going to happen, and the way they react to things will be very different from each other, and that'd be fun to see how they move forward with that.
Yeah, I mean they're both coming from very different mentalities. You know, Geek Girl is, though she's kind of got a handle on the superhero thing now, she's a college girl, she's 21. Carver has been through the ringer, is it coming from a much darker place?
So on some levels, they're almost Superman and Batman in that way.
Yeah, but they don't both have the same mom's name.
See, people didn't like that, but I really liked that. I remember sitting in the theater and going, that was genius. I never put the two of that together, but some people just really, really hated that. But I don't know. It didn't bother me. But anyway, it's going to be interesting to see how these two get along and how the go. Because, you know, I always like to point out the girls and girl relationships are sort of magical and mystical to me. I don't understand them. I mean, after reading comics for decades, I get guys. I mean, guys can be all over the map, and guys can be like Superman and Batman, get along if they need to. Girls don't necessarily do that. And as such, no. I'm going to be curious to see how you handle that, because, you know, that's going to be so interesting to me. I'll probably learn some things out of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the established relationships that Ruby K. Geek Girl has, a mix, like the two-part art that forms part of the larger Teen Geek Girl artwork, where she, the Mean Girl, and Summer go to a club, and Summer and Ruby are reunited with the Mean Girl friends, as in not Mean Girl, but the cool kids. It's quite a fractious relationship, and the reunion is not, partly because it's as alcohol-fueled as it is, there's a resentment from Ruby that has been underlying, because, you know, they basically dropped her as a friend when they thought she was on call, not buying the whole superhero thing. And now that Ruby has proven herself as the city in the miniseries, they want to get back in with her. But there's an underlying resentment from Ruby as from what's come before, and that kind of blows up in this club. Quite a fun club thing that's, again, there's a Doom Patrol influence there. It's quite out there. It's again, fun characters, right? Karin is kind of the worst of the clique, and is someone I'm interested in exploring more and seeing sort of what makes her tick and why she is the way she is.
Mm-hmm. So that'll be interesting to see. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be kind of fun. You know, I've been meaning to ask you something about Geek Girl. You know, I realize she gets her powers from the glasses, and as such, that's an important thing. I'm just sort of curious as to why she's never, like, put a mask over them. You know, because in a way, having the glasses is like Daredevil, that he can't see through the eye slots, and yet, you know, he still wears those, and I always am like, well, why does he do that when he's kind of revealing he's blind? And on some senses with Geek Girl, not putting a mask over it is kind of saying, hey, the glasses are kind of a realistic thing. So I'm just, you know, is it a Clark Kent kind of a setup? Why doesn't she put like a mask on top of it to kind of better hide her herself?
So basically, she's, you know, we as comic fans and as superhero fans, sort of familiar with the lore of superheroes and how this works. Ruby has, mm-hmm. has no experience of that, so it didn't even occur to her. So, like, and also where she lives in Acorn Ridge in Maine, the two resident superheroes, neither of them wear masks. You know, it's not the case that superheroes always do. So it never, mm-hmm. just never occurred to her. And, you know, there's a lot about what she took on. I mean, the thing is, she kind of fell into it after mm-hmm. she got these, like the big bad of the miniseries gets Trash's Neon Girl, who's the first lady of superheroism where they live. And mm-hmm. Ruby's kind of forced to step up. So everything is done with a naivety. So some are made of the costume. Secret identities never even crossed the mind.
That's so interesting because, you know, her family and everything, I just, I guess that that may lead to a future storyline. Let's hope. She may have to learn things the hard way.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether they're going to do that or not, but it seems like that would be an interesting story to see her realize that.
Yeah, she certainly has been learning some hard lessons, but yeah, well, we'll see if that one becomes a thing. But the position she's in now is a super team. She's kind of, whereas before she was kind of putting herself in a bigger crosshairs over her and her friends because she was at college. Now, as a result of what happened with Lightning Storm, she was put in a coma. So this part of her college, and in order to retake that, is doing a super team gig, which will then fund her doing that. So now she's part of a super team. It's less of a, you know, Peter Parker, Mary Jane situation. But, you know, she still sees her friends. And as we say, she's not hiding her identity. So we'll see what that amounts to.
Well, as you and I have talked about before, she considers this to be like a temporary thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she fell into it. She landed these glasses on a drunken whim, overhearing the guy that invented them talking about them to his pal, who you know, he was going to use them himself. And then her and her friend Stacy got them drunk and took advantage of their libidos to win the glasses off them in a game of strip poker. So not the most noble of origins, but she's grown from that. But yeah, I think that with the super team thing, it's now things are kind of going to get real a bit. Like, we've got what's going to be coming up, which gets introduced in, towards the end of the arc, is now that they're together as a team, they're going to get trained up to work as a team. And another dubious associate of Johnny Carlisle, Joe Cyborg, is going to do it with the aid of a repurposed sex bot. So the sex bot is intended to, like, you know, teach them how to fight as a super team, but keeps reverting back to our original program as a sex bot. So that's going to throw away a quirk in the proceedings there.
Okay, so there's lots of good things. Now, you mentioned one of the characters that I love to ask you about, and that's Summer.
I was waiting for this. Wait.
Yeah, you know me. I want more for her to do because I like her character a lot. And when she was actually Geek Girl, it was interesting to me that she did not, even though she was aware of the superhero genre and aware what it all means, she didn't quite work out as far as being a superhero goes. But, you know, I always worry she's going to be, you know, like just on the sidelines cheering Geek Girl on. And I always have want to ask, what have you gotten coming for Summer as a character? Has she got something interesting happening? And of course, I don't expect to get spoiled, but probably just a yes or no will be enough for me.
Yeah, well, I'll see how much I can go into it. But yeah, there are definite plans. So at the beginning of the Team Geek Girl arc, when Ruby goes to, well, flies to her HQ to check it out and move in, Summer goes with her, and Summer is, you know, she loves, you know, she came up with the whole Geek Girl concept. She's a fashion student. She made the costume. She's more excited about it than Ruby is. She loves it. Her dad's a big comic book geek. So in the part of the arc where they go to a club, Ruby wants to get downtown to go incognito, and it's a fancy dress night. So she goes incognito and lets Summer have a go in the costume. So Summer filled in briefly for Geek Girl when Ruby was in a coma. As you said, wasn't so great at it, but still, you know, got a hell of a buzz out of it. So when she gets another go in the powers with the glasses, so another go in the costume with the glasses that give the powers, she loves it. There's the night they go to, this club night, is based on Seinfeld's Festivus. So includes the, for those that are familiar with that, the Feats of Strength is one of Frank Costanza's alternative Christmas traditions. So Summer gets to have a go in the Feats of Strength with the Geek Girl powers, and she loves it. So, you know, having not cut it before, and obviously, you know, she was only caretaking it to give back to Ruby, she gets another go, and she just loves it. And following on from that, she gets an idea, because one of the would-be members of Geek Girls team doesn't make the cut, so there's a vacancy. So her mind's going, and it's going to lead her down a dark path. So that's something I'm really looking forward to exploring. And there's a character that ties into that called Pete the Pimp, who's in the a deluxe edition of Geek Girl 5. And he's introduced into that, and she's going to be connecting with him and some other characters in an attempt to somehow justify being a part of a Geek Girls team, which obviously one would expect would somehow involve her getting powers of her own.
Okay. Yeah, I got to see that. That's I like Summer. She's been one of my favorites.
Yeah, she's great.
Now, the other character, of course, I've got to ask about is the one that I get the opposite reaction from.
Dickhead.
Yes, to this day, I still get grossed out when I think about this guy that he's got a half human head and a half pig head.
Yes,
and
his brain has been fused with a pig's.
It still grosses me out when I think of it to this day. When the first time I saw it, I remember going, ugh. But, you know, sometimes you see that kind of thing and just it's so bad you got to watch it. It's like an auto accident, you know, when it happens and you just can't take your eyes off it, as horrible as it is. And that's the way with this is, this guy that's got a half pig head and a half human head, although I don't know, maybe two-thirds pig head the way it looks. But I'm just sort of, are we going to see pig head again?
That's kind of a down as a maybe at the moment. Basically, okay. The first arc of the ongoing series, which is collected in Volume 2, he plays a big part in bringing together the League of Larcenists, which are a bunch of, well, super-powered larcenists, effectively, or super-tech-powered at least. So that goes where it goes. And, yeah, I mean, I think pretty much all of the characters that appear in the series at any point are ones I'm interested in doing more with. So I've got he's not in the immediate plans, but we may not have seen the last of them. And as I say, the thing to get on with him, if you want some good pig fused brain action, is the second volume, because there's plenty of pig head being aggressive with his. The poor guy that gets involved in the League of Larcenists but isn't really a bad guy, and there's a bit of friction there.
I just always, you know, you always come up with the most interesting characters. It's never just a standard character. There's always something interesting or off-center going on, and that makes it interesting for me to read. So I'm interested to read that. I'll never forget looking at that, though. That was a new experience for me in comics reading.
Yeah.
So that was something good. So, well, what else should we know about Geek Girl and things that are coming to pass? What else would you like us to know?
Well, I mean, at the moment, it's all about the Kickstarter. So that gives you, if you're already on board, if you're already up to speed, then there's the two new issues. If you're not up to speed, there's the Jump on New Direction trade with the Team Geek Girl. If you were going at the beginning, there's, you can get on issue one of the miniseries. So that's all there, loads of entry points. New rewards being added, as I said. Campaign's going well, looking like it's going to be our potentially, I don't want to, you know, jinx it, but potentially going to be our biggest one yet. Having fun with it. And, I mean, from the point this goes out to the May the 31st, new stuff coming. So, check it out. GeekGirlComics.com links you directly to it. That's the easy link.
That'd be good. Now, there's no hyphen in the website name, but there is one in the name of the character.
Yeah.
So
if you search,
I want to make that clear.
put hyphen in because there was a book called Geek Girl, which is, if you're looking for superpowers, that's not going to be it.
No. There we go. So, of course, you got Cappuccini coming.
Yes.
You're working on. Are there other things you're working on that we should be aware of?
No, I mean, I've really got into this. I've got big plans for this. Like, let's say there's what's going to be happening with summer. There's what's going to be happening with the team, the sex bot. And weird and wonderful villains that some of which have already been introduced and some of which are yet to be. So the Cappuccini miniseries really connects from the Geek Girl miniseries and will lead, not the miniseries, the Geek Girl series, connects from the end of that and will lead into when it comes back. So it's, you know, it's all part of a big picture, and these are two, Carver and Geek Girl, two characters I'm very invested in and interested in developing. So lots I want to do with these. So that is my focus, this universe that they both form a part of.
Mm-hmm. So that'll be something good to see. Once again, let's talk about it's described on Kickstarter as Geek, of course, Geek hyphen Girl. Jump on TPB, which stands for Trade Paperback, of course, plus new and previous issues. And the subhead says, superheroes meet mean girls plus weirdness in the Geek Girl ongoing series. And as we're talking, and of course, this can change, you've got 94 backers and 91% there. And by the time this posts, I'm sure you'll be into the stretch goals and good things like that. So, you know, Geek Girl continues to shine, and you keep having a lot of fun with it, obviously. And there's just, I can't guess what kind of things you're going to do. And that's part of the fun of reading the book.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're going to do. So congrats on that, especially for me and experience, as I like to say, comics reader. When somebody can do that, I always admire that. So, you know, I think that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. I mean, Stan Lee was very, very big on cliffhangers not necessarily being, you know, reserved for the end of the issue. And I like to keep people on the toes. I like to keep it unpredictable. I mean, like, I don't think, you know, what the connection that's going to bring Carver into Geek Girl's world is, I don't think people will see coming, but it does get revealed towards the end of the Team Geek Girl arc.
Very good, very good. Once again, it's going to conclude on Monday, May 31st at 10:46 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And it's good stuff. Like I said, I've already pledged, so I backed it. So it's going to be great stuff to see. I'm really looking forward to seeing those things. I remember the days when you used to send me the full issues, and now I only get the previews, but that's okay. I'd rather die.
I'm enjoying. Aren't done yet, so they won't. Yeah, there's that.
I'll look forward to getting them when they're ready, because I sometimes I want to be a fan. I don't necessarily want to know ahead of time. I'm glad to do it just like everybody else and be able to ask my questions later on. But it's Geek Girl again with a hyphen, and you want to make sure that you get to Kickstarter. Don't wait. Do it now and support Sam so we can keep all these good things, Cappuccini and Geek Girl and other things. You did the Almighty's once. I don't know if that's going to come back, but there's other things that you've done that are very creative and stuff too. So I'm interested to see whatever that imagination comes up with. So just keep up the wonderful stuff.
Thank you very much. And yeah, Geek Girl hyphen, if you're Googling it, but link to the Kickstarter, just straight, all one word, geekgirlcomics.com.
And that's it for this episode. Be back next time. I'll have another great interview with an excellent comics creator, something I'm sure you won't want to miss. But until then, keep reading your comics.